Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you out this morning in the Lord's house, and I hope all of you are here prepared for worship this morning. I have just a couple of announcements for you, and Patrick, would you like to lead off with the announcements?
I will.
I got you, Mark.
Good morning. Just a few quick announcements. Number one, if you're on the youth committee, we have a meeting this afternoon at 4:30 back there in I think Mr. Skippy's Sunday school classroom by the fellowship hall. So at 4:30 today on the youth committee. Number two, parents and young people, our retreat is coming up in May 13th through the 15th. This is our spring retreat, and I wrote about it in the Circuit Rider. This is our fall and spring retreat this year. Due to the flood back in October, we could not have our fall retreat. So this will be ages 12th grade. It will be basically two retreats in one. Patrick Blackman from Sherall First Baptist Church is our speaker. He will be speaking to the big kids, then speak to the younger kids, and so forth. So it will be a great time. Applications will be out next week, so be on the lookout for those. Sign up soon as possible so we can get the food, get the T-shirts, and everything. So if you have a kid, grandkid, niece, nephew, ages 6, all the way up, 12th grade, sign them up. We should pack that camp out with all the young people and volunteers. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. Also, if you were on the Bible school committee, Mary wanted me to mention that you have a meeting at 4 o'clock on Wednesday here. So if you're on the Bible school committee, please be here at 4 p.m. this week to start your planning for this year's Bible school. And also, I wanted to highlight the district. Men's District Cartwright is tomorrow night. Scott, do you have anything you want to add to that?
A good fish
supper tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here at the church. And also, it's good to have Mr. Jim with us this morning. And he wanted to say something to the congregation. Can you get in that microphone, Patrick? Hang on just a second.
Trey, I'd like to thank you to the church for praying for me, and I want to especially thank the...
Oh, man, we need you. The green light's on.
I'd like to thank the church for praying for me, and this is my church. I love it. I love everybody here. They have a soul in this church I don't love. I love them all, and especially that pastor sitting up there. He's going to be a pastor starting next week. He's going to be full time. If I have anything to do with it. He's always been so good to me. Been so, him and Lisa, and his especially his daughter over there. They've been real nice to me. And I want to thank the Cartwright Fellowship for what they did for me. They put a ramp up for me so I'd be able to get it out easier. Thank you all. Thank you for everything you do for me. I love you all. Bye-bye now.
We really appreciate and love you, Mr. Jim, as well. If there are there any other announcements at this time before we move? Ron?
Amen.
Amen.
They worked hard.
Yes, they did. At this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the ability, Lord, and the treasure it is to be in your house today. And Father, we pray that everything we do today, Lord, in this service, Lord, is honoring and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're gathered together today, not by accident, but by design, but divine design, to worship our Lord together. And so we'll surely say again, this is a day the Lord has made, and we're rejoicing, we're glad in it. Expressing that joy to the Lord, let's join together in singing the call to worship. He is Lord, followed by hymn number 234. Let us stand together, praising our Lord in song. He is Lord, singing together.
Thank you.
crown him with many crowns. Joining together, let us sing. And while you're standing, greet those around you, wishing God's blessing today.
Miss Felicia's a very special wife. That is what he's saying. The Bible says, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. Let's pray. And how we thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving us when we can oftentimes be so unloving. And your faithfulness to us is always perfect and true, even when we are faithless and unfaithful to you. May we as a church collectively and as individual Christians always remember that everything we do must be for your glory, and that we would always search our hearts and seek your will and way for the path that you desire our church and our individual lives to follow. We thank you, Lord, for the answered prayers from Ms. Julie Watts being home and returning from surgery, And we do thank you for Mr. Jim able to be here and his dear wife and Miss Felicia. And for these of our church who've been so sick and yet are here this morning, we thank you. And yet there are others who want to be here and cannot be because of physical problems. We hold them up before you as well. Lord, we have great peace in knowing that you do answer the prayers of your children, especially as we are gathered together with faithful, prayerful, believing, and expecting hearts. May you use our young people this morning as they bless our worship through their praise and their singing. Use these precious ones to open our hearts to the presence, power, and praise of the Holy Spirit. Please, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us. May we truly, literally experience your presence and your power in this place. Together we ask all this in the precious Son's name, Jesus Christ, our rock, our refuge, and our Redeemer. Amen.
On this youth Sunday, our youth singers will be coming and sharing the anthem with us tonight. Patrick, lead your young people. I'm going down yonder.
I don't think I'm crowded. All right, the fourth grade and up, go to the choir loft, and the third grade and down up here. Come on up. Well, they're going to be singing I Fly Away. So if you know it, you may sing with them.
Ushers, please come forward to receive our morning offering. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for allowing us to be in your house today, Lord. And Father, we think about all the gifts and blessings you've given us this past week, Lord. And Father, we just ask that as we give back this portion to you, Lord, that Father, you just use it for your glory and your righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before Pastor Griffith comes and shares the word this morning, we're going to invite you to turn with us to hymn number 364, My Jesus, I Love Thee. And also, during the singing of this number, we'll dismiss our children and children's church workers for their place of worship. And then right before the message, Annabelle and Allison Lane will come and share a special selection. Joining together, 364, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Stand and lift your voices in praise to God. My Jesus, I love thee, singing together. Thank you, church, and you may be seated. At this time, a special by Annabelle and Allison. Please come, girls.
Stare down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow. Here I am to say that you are my God. You are altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, so highly exalted,
Thank you, ladies. There are three people I want to recognize here this morning, and one is Mr. Chuck Bennett, one of my heroes of the faith from years past, and it's always good to see him and to have him with us. The other is Sheila Burrows, who is part of our family and takes care of Carol Ann. And Carol Ann loves her more than me, I think, because we have Carol Ann with us here, too, this day. And we're so grateful for that she's able to come. We're going to continue this morning to look at four results that are guaranteed by the resurrection. It was interesting, last week I told you I had four results, right? And so at about 3 till, I was finishing the second point. And I believe I saw Philip Robertson out here doing this, but he may have been doing this because he was hot, or I could be making the whole thing up. I'll let you decide which one that is. But if I've ever started believing in mental telepathy, it's now. Because last week I was getting some messages about, it says, if you're here at 12:30 preaching, you're going to be by yourself. But then it said you got the last two numbers wrong. If you're here at 12:03, you're going to be here by yourself. And so really, it took on a life of its own. The four points are really, I'm doing the third one today and the fourth one next Sunday. Thank you for not saying amen on that, but it really did. It just took on a life of its own to where I really believe God is in on this. Four results guaranteed by the resurrection. And these are in sequence. The first one is, of course, that we can have saving faith in the Son of God. We talked about that. That we do serve a risen Savior. He is the Son of God. The resurrection validated everything ever claimed about Christ. The Old Testament prophets and teachers, the New Testament apostles and teachers, everything claimed about Christ was validated by the resurrection. He is the Son of God. He is our Savior, our King, our Redeemer, and our Lord of Lords. And we put our faith in Him. We are assured of a place in heaven. Amen. The second point is we can have sanctified freedom in the Spirit of God. And that's the point I said sometime later. I want to do a series on, maybe on Sunday nights, on biblical sanctification. You remember, it means literally to set apart, to be apart, to be different than, if you will. And we looked at the two extremes. One extreme is that would say you get to a point that your heart is so pure that you cannot sin. That's an extreme. Now, I don't know of any Western or Pentecostal group that believes that, to the point you can't sin because the sin nature is gone. The other extreme says this, that once you get saved, yes, you're sanctified, but that's it, and that between here and heaven, it's just discipline. I buffet my body. I go to the chat and chew, I buffet my body. But that's not what, I buffet my body. I buffet my body. And both are wrong. We believe, of course, I believe in sanctification being a growth, progressive, and a crisis. And I believe it happens after salvation. It could happen 30 times after salvation. It's a crisis that we come to. I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in a moment. But it's a crisis that we come to when I have something I really need to give to the Lord. I consecrate it to Him and God sanctifies it. And that means whatever fear I may have, whatever burden I may have, whatever bondage I may have, God can take that away as I give it to Him. The Bible says, cast all of our cares upon Him for He careth for us. Now that is the Wesley defined perfect love as to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's hard to argue with that. And that's by God's grace that we can do that, to love Him with all of our heart. And when we give it to Him, He fills us with His perfect love. Listen, it's not that we can't sin. It's that the desire is gone to whatever we have bondage to, whatever we have fear of, He takes that away. And we can have victory over that. That's why we sing victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. It's not just in salvation, but it's also in our walk with Christ. I grow from the milk of the Word to the meat of the Word. We know that's true. But also the Bible talks many times of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking the Word with boldness, being filled with the Holy Spirit and doing great and wonderful things for God's glory. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. We do have victory in Jesus, and if God be for us, who can be against us? And with Christ, I can do all things, right? That's exactly what the Bible says. We are to live victory in Jesus because we are to have the more abundant life. That's what the Bible teaches. And it's very true, and I believe it. God will meet your need where you are at the time that you need it, and His timing is always perfect. And so now to the third thing, and that is to have Spirit-filled fellowship with the saints of God. And that means this. If we're saved and we have the sanctifying love of God in our heart, then, folks, there's no reason a church cannot have sweet fellowship no matter what. There's no reason. If we have the sanctifying love of God in our heart, if we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. That could mean love covers a multitude of offenses. It means we are a family. And a family loves each other no matter what. Now, you don't have to turn here because we're going to Ephesians in just a moment. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And that means we are to help each other in times of need, in times of trouble. We're to be there. We're to be there for each other. If someone is having a difficult time, self-imposed or not, we're to be there for that person. We're to encourage that person. We're to do what we're supposed to do for that person to help that person be closer to the Lord. Galatians 6, 9 says this, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. That's important. We are to give preference to each other. It says to do good to all, but especially, priority-wise, do good to those in your church. You may say, well, how do you get that? Well, the Bible tells us to take care of our own widows, doesn't it? We like to take care of all the widows in Clarendon County, but folks, our first priority is our widows here in this church. And every widow said amen. We are. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, right? We sing that. I'm so glad I'm a part of the Turbeville Southern Methodist Church because we are a family. And if I truly have the sanctifying grace in my life, then there's nothing that should separate me from my love for you. I love what Brother Jim said. Love everybody in here. Brother Jim's been here a lot of years, and I'm sure you didn't agree with everything that went on. I'm putting words in his mouth. He's not nodding his head or shaking his head. I'm just saying, in spite of whether we disagree with somebody or not, we can love them. And they can love us. That is why we can have sweet fellowship with the saints of God as we come together in His love. That's the household of faith it's talking about. Now, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. And would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? Ephesians 3, 14 through 20. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I believe everything starts at the cross. And I believe that we always need to realize it's the cross where our sins were forgiven. It's the cross that we're forgiven of everything. And it's the cross where we can forgive anybody of anything. It is always very dangerous for somebody to say, I'll never forgive him for that. You ever heard that? You ever say, I'll never forgive him. I'll never forgive him. Folks, that shows a heart that is so much out of the will of God, that person might not be saved. to have that kind of hard heart. Well, if I'm to have sweet fellowship, spirit-filled fellowship with the saints of God, it begins, first of all, with having an intimate passion for the Savior. Verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's where it starts. Bowing our knee to the crucified, resurrected, ascended, crowned, and coming again Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the creator of everything. What is fellowship? Koinonia, the word, fellowship. I'll tell you a better word. I wish I could say this was original with me, but it's not. The best definition of fellowship is this: two fellows on the same ship. They started at the same place. They're going to the same place. They have the same captain, but they're working together to make the ship go. I like that, don't you? That's what a church is. Two fellows on the same ship, going in the right direction, doing the same things, all at the captain's bidding. And that's what verses 14 and 15 say. When was the last time that you bowed your knee to the Lord? Now, I'm going to talk to Christians right now. When's the last time you bowed your knee to the Lord in public? Now, I'm not talking about some mass movement or something to be seen. I am talking about where you've come, wherever, and just say publicly, I bow my knee to you, Lord. Again, I bow my knee to you in humble repentance. I bow my knee to you in humble sanctification. I give my whole life to you, Lord. It all starts at the cross. I give my fear, my burdens, everything that's in my life that's not of you, I give it to you, Lord. I bow my knee to you. When was the last time? I have seen churches so blessed when somebody came forward and another person came forward that maybe there had been some contention. And they prayed together, and that contention went away. It was gone. That's supernatural. Only God can do that. And that's what God talks about with spirit-filled fellowship with his saints. Now, we have the intimate passion for the Savior. Second of all, we have the inner power from the Spirit. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What does it mean? It means I love the Lord so much. At this point, I love the Lord so much. He's filled me with his love so much, I can say. And I wish I could say that all the time. And I can't, but I know when I don't, I can go to the Father and have a renewed filling of the Holy Spirit. The Bible continually says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't just be filled with positive thoughts, good intentions, but be filled in an objective and a subjective way with God's Holy Spirit. Now, you remember, we talked about this last time. You don't have to do this now, but I ask you, if you're a Christian, raise your right hand, you remember? If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, raise your left hand. If you're sanctified, stomp your right foot. I wish somebody had walked in and seen the Southern Methodists do that, don't you? And I said, if you're a Christian, you should be able to do all three. Because you are, if you're saved, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you're sanctified. Every Christian has that, okay? So we need to understand that. You are baptized at salvation. Jesus, or Paul said in the book of Romans, if you have not the Spirit, you're none of his. So at the moment of salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I do believe there are works of grace. That's what I'm talking about, the crises of salvation, or the crises of sanctification. You don't grow into salvation. You have that crisis experience where one time you get on your knee or whatever, and you say, Lord, I repent, and I ask you to fill my heart with your Holy Spirit, that I'll walk with you and I'll be a new person, new creation in you. That's what it means. That's a crisis experience. That's what it means to get saved. Now, you are sanctified. You are set apart at salvation. There's no question about that. The Bible's clear about that. But you also grow. Hebrews, it talks about from the milk of the word to the meat of the word. And then it's special times, not just second work of grace. It could be 30th work of grace. And it's something I just can't explain. I'm not teaching or preaching something that I haven't experienced many times in my life. I just can't explain it, but I know it's true, and I know it's biblical. It's just like you can't really explain salvation. The Lord comes into your heart in a very real way, and you know it's true, according to Scripture. You know it's true. And when I have that sanctified spirit in my heart, and I want to live and love Him with all my heart, I can say there's absolutely nothing, say that with me, absolutely nothing, one more time, absolutely nothing that has to separate us from each other. Nothing. You know, the Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, right? If we're a believer in Christ, nothing can separate us. And all the hounds of hell can do nothing about it. The only way that something separates us is if we allow it. I'm glad when I'm faithless, God is still faithful, right? When I can act like the world, God is still faithful to me. All the blessings are there, whether I realize it or not, whether I experience it or not. I know that God blesses me. And I want you to know, and we as a church need to know as well, that when we are part of each other, we need to realize nothing should make us stop loving each other. I love to say, you know, I go to church with that person. I go to church with that person. We're in the same Sunday school class. That's how it should be. Especially of the household of faith, especially of the Turbeville Southern Methodist Church. That's what it's talking about. Nothing should be able to separate us from that. Intimate passion, inner power. The third thing is indescribable promise for each saint. Verse 20. Now to Him, Jesus, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we, meaning us, ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory, church, all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now that's indescribable. Not even being able to comprehend all the blessings that God gives us. Not even be able to comprehend it. I love when God works in a church, you can't explain it. But you know it's God. You know it's not man-made or program-based. You just know that God is working in the church. And God is bringing healing, and God is bringing people closer to Him. And there's no relationship, there's nothing that cannot be healed when God's love is in it. Nothing. We can overcome anything. And that is guaranteed by the resurrection. And I believe it starts on bended knee, where hearts melt and tension is gone. I read where an old Pentecostal preacher, old country preacher, wrote this. He was talking about that when Paul was on his missionary journeys, and they got shipwrecked, is the word I'm trying to think of, on the Isle of Malta. You remember? And the natives treated them very nicely. And Paul went to get firewood for the fire, and a snake came out and bit him on the hand. And he held it up. And the natives were waiting on him to die. He shook it off into the fire. And the natives were waiting on him, the Bible says, to swell up and die. It didn't happen. Paul just went on. And the natives said, he must be one of the gods. The old Pentecostal preacher said, when the snake latches on to you, that's a crisis. And I think we would all agree with that, right? That's a crisis. You shake him off into the fire, that's consecration. You give it to the Lord, and the Lord burns him up. That's the sanctifying fire of the Holy Spirit. And then people will know you've been with Jesus. And I ask you, what do you need to shake off this morning? What do you need to shake off? What's in your heart that really bothers you? It might be a grudge. It might be a burden. It might be a fear. I'm preaching tonight on the what-ifers, and I'm a good what-ifer, you know, which is not a good thing, by the way. What is it you need to shake off and let God's sanctifying fire handle that? You see, the Bible says it's true. Jesus always fulfills his promises. Why not now? Why not right now? And Father, I do ask right now that you would speak to each heart. And to challenge that person right now who needs just a renewal in the Spirit, to be created with a clean heart and upheld with a steadfast spirit. I pray, Lord, you would just, as the Holy Spirit works, that you'd be the one who touched the heart, and that that person would do only what you would have that person to do. I commit it to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as we turn, Dr. Blank's going to announce to him, as we turn, I ask you to come. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, come to me. If you've got something else you want to handle at the altar, you come and you do that right here, right now, as God leads you. Whatever you need to shake off into the fire, you come.
Number 365. Let us stand together and prayerfully sing.
Jesus said, through him, we're more than conquerors. And he said, he came to give life and to give it how? More abundantly. Amen. Dr. Blank.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
And God bless each of you.